Too bad that the better cold open will be on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
That one that we just did that I can't possibly air.
Well, you could air bits and pieces of it. the hurry up and part, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, that'll be left out. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Got a show to do. Hello and welcome to episode 312 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, still in Vancouver.
Still in Vancouver. Adam, we should have got together for this week. 312, man.
Yeah.
That means nothing to you, does it?
No.
What is 52 times 6?
364.
I feel like I set you up.
I'm just kidding.
For 312 to be the answer. Yeah, well, that means
that means
today is 6 years. This is the 6 year anniversary of us doing the show.
That's huge.
Yay.
I used to care about anniversaries when I was, I don't know, 11.
No. Your wife cares.
Yeah. No, she cares. Yeah, enough for the both of us. No, I think she does. It means we get to do something fun. That's kind of how we look at it. It's a reason to do something fun without children.
That's wow.
It. Yeah. Children stay home. We're going out for nice dinner. Maybe we're even going to go away for a weekend. That's the fun part. So it's an excuse to kind of get some adult-only time, I think.
Here you go, kids. We'll be back in a couple of days. Here's some matches. Have fun.
Well, and some paper. Yeah.
And some paper, some matches, some cotton batten. See what you can do with this. Only burn it outside. Okay.
We'll
see
be
you
back.
On Sunday night. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Your kids they're old enough now. They can play with fire.
Sure. I don't see why not.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Amazon. If you're going to buy matches for your kids, buy them on Amazon.
Yeah, you could probably get a whole bunch.
I wonder if they still sell matches.
I always have we always have those, you know, whatever you want to call them, those long lighter special, you know, I don't know what they.
Oh yeah, those are for pussies. Yeah, you're never gonna burn your fingers with that. You gotta get the small ones and hurry up, and especially the ones that are old, because my wife's grandfather or great-grandfather, I guess he used to run some sort of a pub or something here in Germany. Like,
yeah.
We're talking like hundreds of years ago, you know, when pubs were invented.
Right.
And so he actually had matches with like boxes of matches with the name of the
yeah,
pub
that
on it.
That was a thing for sure.
Yeah, but we still have them. Like, he had a whole bunch, and because we're Swabian here, we don't throw anything out ever. So we still have those matches and still use them. But that means, basically, as soon as you light it, you have a couple milliseconds before it burns your fingers. Because they burn that quickly now because they're that old.
Okay.
Still use them because you know why? It's a challenge. We don't have these long ones with the asbestos handle like you do.
Yeah.
You're missing the best part of life, man.
Okay. I didn't know.
You know what you should do is do yourself a favor when you use those long ones. Light both ends at the same time just to make it fun.
I will. I'll try that next time.
All right. You're not going to.
No, probably not.
However, buy them on Amazon. Click through our site. That's what we're saying. Click through our site. Help us out.
Great. And everybody and should be buying their Christmas gifts on Amazon at this time of year, shouldn't they?
Well, today's Boxing Day, so that ship has sailed.
For next year. Start now.
Yeah. buy your New Year supplies, though. Can you get champagne on Amazon?
Maybe in Germany.
Probably not.
I don't think you can get it. Alcohol.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And don't even here's my tip for coming up for New Year's.
Okay.
Don't buy champagne.
Buy
champagne. Oh, buy anything but buy Sekt, buy Prosecco. It doesn't matter. Like anything bubbly. The only people I do like champagne. It is really good. It's very expensive, so I don't think the price really is worth it for how I mean, it is good, too expensive.
Bottle of wine is just fine by me.
Well, no, but if like Sect and Prosecco and all these, they're all bubbly. Because Champagne comes from a very specific region, the Champagne region.
Why does it have to be bubbly? I don't understand why we need to drink something bubbly for New Year's.
You don't like bubbly wine?
Not particularly.
Oh, see, I do. I do like the bubbles.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is in Germany, it's actually very, very cheap. Like, you can't get anything that you can choke down for less than $20 for a bottle. I don't know. I don't know what it costs. It's not cheap. But whereas in Germany, you can get like Italian Prosecco or German Sekt, you can get that bubbly wine for like a couple of bucks, and it's good. It's not $100. It's not Moët Chandon good. Still good.
Okay.
But here's the thing: once you're good and liquored up by New Year's, you can't tell.
That's true.
You can't tell Moët Chandon from just your basic Prosecco.
No, I certainly can't.
If you're doing
can't.
It right.
I certainly can't.
No, if you're
can't.
Doing it right. Of course not. No, you. It's hard. Sometimes you can't tell a pillow from the hard tile floor. I've had those New Year's.
It's also true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So in the end, that's my tip for you.
Okay.
All right, but buy it on Amazon. If you can buy Prosecco on Amazon, do it. Click through our site. All right. What's going on, Adam?
Still snowing. No, it's probably not.
Is it? Do you think in Boxing Day snow would be great though?
Yeah, I don't think it's snowing. I'm gonna take that back and say it's not snowing.
Green Christmas?
Sure.
I'm gonna go ahead and say you're having a white Christmas.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that would be nice. Like that's always when it comes to snow. I remember as a kid, like you would love it if it snowed in July. Like you just snow. It's all. Although you grew up in Ontario, right?
Correct, yeah.
So not as much, so snow, not as big a deal because you had a lot of it.
Correct, yeah.
Correct. West Coast, not so much.
Yeah, it's pretty rare to get snow, especially that lasts for more than a day or two.
You're right. So when it does happen, it's, wow, let's get out there and play.
Yes.
And yeah, so... When you're young, it's awesome. When you get older, you think, oh, man, it's more like I got to shovel it. I have to drive in it. You think about all these ancillary things that snow brings.
Yeah, it's a hassle. So,
yeah. So ideally, like in an ideal world, it would start snowing on the 24th at around 9:30 p.m. when you're home.
Correct,
You're done making the rounds. You get home, and it would snow at 9:30, and then around 1 o'clock on Boxing Day, it would melt.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
All right, let's just say that that's the winter you're experiencing right now.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good.
Happy Boxing Day, buddy. That's what I got you.
Yeah.
All right. I meant to talk about a couple shows ago, but we didn't have time. I finally got the kids' photo albums completed.
Okay, that's the sort of yearly project?
It was supposed to be yearly.
Okay.
But I got behind. I got overwhelmed. I got swamped by too many photos, too many this and that. So, you know, a little background is every year on the kids' birthdays, one of the presents they get from my wife and I is a photo album of the previous year. Now, despite what I thought was good editing, the first year when we had my daughter, I couldn't even fit all the pictures in one album. That's how many important photos I took of that little lump that just sat there and cried and pooped.
Okay.
That's my daughter.
Okay, yeah.
You remember the first year, I don't know if you remember the first year when your kids were born, but they didn't do a whole lot. They're cute and all that, and they're your kids, so you do like them. But I took a ridiculous number of photos, and then on top of that, edited it down to what I thought was the bare minimum that needed to be in the photo album for her first year. And I couldn't fit it into one album. And that, and that, and each album, I think each album holds 200 photos.
Yeah, so you need to do a better job.
Oh, I did. No, I'm being completely honest here. I've done much better. And so that first year for my daughter, I believe we had just a tick under 400 photos.
Okay.
That's more than one a day of a kid who wasn't even crawling yet for most of it. That's crazy. That is crazy talk.
But I think everybody does that, so you're okay. It's okay. You can forgive yourself.
Oh, I'm not okay. Yeah. No, I do. The only reason I am okay is because looking back, in retrospect, I've learned from it.
Yes.
And so then, you know, and then, so we did it again. We had, you know, her year two was much shorter, was much smaller, but even still, probably 200 photos, 250 photos of year two, too many. And then my son came along and, I don't know, threw a couple of two photos or something like that. I don't know. No, but his was under 200. And then we stopped. I ended up doing three albums for my daughter, one for my son, and then those birthdays just got busy, and basically 2 years for each of them just didn't happen. And then the more I got behind, the less I really wanted to get caught up.
Yeah, it gets so daunting. Tough. Yeah,
it is daunting. And so finally this year for Christmas, I said, no, I'm doing it. And we're not making, like previously we would get all the photos printed, paste them into albums, write on some of the, you know, right next to some of the pictures, do the whole thing. And I said, no, this, starting now, we're doing books. Like going back to books. I've made books in the past, kind of got away from it. Now I realize how silly it is to not make books. Books are the best.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the plan. So basically I wanted to get it down. So again, 400 pictures down to 250, down to 200. For each one of the kids, up until now, they each get their own album for their birthday. So I caught up, did four albums that they each missed 2 years, but I got caught up, and so did four in total. Starting this year, I'm going to do one album at Christmas. Like they have one album together, so I'm paring it down even more.
Okay,
that's the plan. So each of those four albums, how many photos are in each album? Would you guess?
100.
Exactly 100.
Yeah,
I managed. I set a goal for myself that I will have exactly no more than 100 photos, and that will basically cover the entire year for each kid.
That's good.
And it wasn't easy to do, man. Like there's stuff that got pulled out
for sure,
but in the end, happy with how it went. 100 photos. That's two a week, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't checking my math. I knew. So, anyways,
good. It's fun and it's good. The kids like it. I mean, my kids have books that we've made over the years for most years. I think we've missed a year somewhere in there too. But mm-hmm. Yeah, Lisa's got a book for each kid for most of their years, and they love going through them. And you know, it's something that once they get older and they, you know, move out, that they'll take with them. And I think it's a great keepsake. And the books are relatively inexpensive and the quality now is great. So mm-hmm. It's some other way to keep those photos alive, because we take them and they're great. And then they get stored in digital space somewhere. And a lot of them never used or never seen again. And yeah, it's great to get them in print somewhere.
Yes.
So,
no, I agree. And that's the other thing what I kind of reconciled to myself was that, okay, there are photos missing, like there are events that happen, but like what I tried to do is I tried to shift away from what I would call, like, you know, compositionally or lighting wise, the best photos, and focus on activities, you know, actions, friends they're with, family members, that kind of thing. And so if maybe one photo wasn't as good as another, but it you know, they're doing something in it, that was what I focused on.
Yeah.
It wasn't my portfolio.
Yeah, and I agree. We tend to go month by month and try to more capture the events of that month that we want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just, and sometimes, you know, the best pictures fall in under those events, and sometimes they don't. But you're right. It's more about the events and sort of telling the story of that year versus just showing an array of the best photos from that year.
Yeah, here the kids are in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So none of that made it. Generally, whenever I can, like if I have my studio set up for, you know, a job, people coming by, I'll try to sneak my kids down there before I pack up. Just, hey, let's get a photo. Let's get a nice studio photo. So it happens a couple times a year that we do that with the kids. But none of those photos made it in. I said, that's more about me than it is anything else.
Yeah, but you know what? And here's what we've done in some of the years in the past is kind of had the last page or sometimes the back cover just been like a massive collage of just some of those photos, just the ones that are just random sort of studio type photos that don't make it in the book. And that just becomes its own page, or like you say, back cover that, you know, ends up looking pretty cool. So that you can always shoehorn them in. There you go. You can shoehorn some of those photos in.
Yeah, no, I did do that. I actually, for each of the front covers, like I tried to basically have, to go with the, I tried to have fun with it because the book I got, I guess they're all the same. Like now you can get the front cover, the back cover. So the front cover is nice, like a nice sort of, not always a studio portrait, but kind of a portrait shot of the kid, you know, with like the title on it, like of what year it is.
Yeah.
Like fifth year, year five for them or whatever. And on the back, I tried to get a shot of them from behind. Like riding, like I have pictures of them, like, you know, riding their bike off into the sunset or something like that.
Yeah.
So all the back shots are basically from behind, maybe, you know, doing something at the beach, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tie it in.
I like
it. All right.
Yeah. Silhouette.
Yeah, I think one of them ended up being a silhouette. I think one of them ones you were there for was one of the days that, and your kids are actually, in fact, you're even in the book, I think.
Wow. Made the
group
book.
Group shot at Jericho, yeah. And we had, remember we had that big barbecue with everybody at Jericho.
Okay.
Spanish All Banks. Right. Spanish Banks, let's say.
Yeah.
Good.
Good, no one's great. Listening. No,
no
not
one's
anymore.
Listening now.
They I don't think they listened after last week's Christmas episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good
we should
point.
We should check the numbers after last week's Christmas episode.
Well, as I talked with Dawn 2 weeks ago now, I don't like to check the numbers because that's just going to be bad news. You know, we talked about, in case you hadn't heard the episode yet, Dawn and I talked about, you know, having your photos stolen, and like you can check, like there's ways to check, you know, see where your photos are being used. Like Google has a, you know, does a pretty good job. You can reverse search,
right,
and find out where your photos are. And so like Dawn had said, hey, you know, have you ever done that? And I said, no, and I don't want to, because, you know, what if no one stole my photo? That's terrible, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, no one shared it. No.
Nope.
You just go ahead. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, whereas Dawn, he gets his stuff stolen every single day. And so he kind of was hoping to have our problem. And I feel like I'd rather have his problem.
Yeah.
But there's that. We got a review on iTunes.
Okay.
We got a bunch of reviews on iTunes, but this is the one that...
I like when you bring up a review that just completely rips on you, but like absolutely loves me. So I hope it's one of those.
Oh, I didn't actually read it. I assume. No. Do they rip on me? That's awesome.
Usually they do.
Mm-hmm.
Most people like me a lot more than
they like
you. But
again, going back, that's how you know you've arrived, if someone rips on you.
Right.
So like, you know, if they steal your photo, that's the thing. I get it.
It's a form of praise.
I feel like that's how the internet works.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. No, but basically, you can go find it on iTunes. Chuck posted a review, but the part that caught my eye was the Raised Together in the Woods by Wolves. Great title for a review.
it starts off kind of bad in that there's a part that it says every podcast has its own flavor and personality, and sometimes I will try a new one and immediately know I don't want to listen to them, and that's kind of where I stopped reading. I was like, I kind of know how this one's gonna go.
Yeah.
But then there was five stars, so I kept reading. Yeah. He turned it around and said he loves us, something along those lines.
Well, I figured, but he did not know how we knew each other so well, because you live in Canada, I live in Germany. And there's more about, you know, we talk like we were raised together by wolves. And he wanted to hear the history, but the I don't want to do the full history, of course, but because it's the 6-year anniversary.
Oh, it's an anniversary, so we should really reminisce.
Or just kind of give the Cole's notes. Sorry, the Cliff Notes for that's the American one. The Cliff Notes version of what I'm doing here in Germany, and you know how we do know it. We haven't Adam and I haven't known each other our whole lives.
No,
it was kind of, and this is when did we meet? 10 years ago, maybe.
No, more than that.
More
than that. Yeah, I'm gonna say about. 15, 13,
yeah.
Something like that. It was a long time ago. Lisa probably would know better than I would.
Yeah, whenever you started dating her. I mean, because, you know, I've known Lisa. Well, we all knew Lisa.
she's sleeping. We're fine. We can totally talk about her. Yeah. Our podcast put her to sleep about an hour ago.
Oh, yeah, good for her. We... you know, ran in the same circles. I've known Lisa for a long time. She was through. I'm trying to remember on the air the connection.
You know her first, don't you? Because Spence, her brother-in-law, was one of your good friends, and
yes.
He was going out with Lisa's sister forever, right?
Yeah, since the beginning.
Since the beginning, was he going out with her when you met Spence? Or did you know
Spence before then.
Okay, you knew Spence before he knew Lisa's sister.
Yes, I've known Spence. Your brother-in-law is a friend of mine. I've known him, honestly, almost my whole life.
Okay. But in high school, he started dating Lisa's sister? Is that roughly it?
Just after, I guess. Yeah, she was in high school. He was her teacher. And... No. But I grew up with Spence, played baseball with him and all that, and I knew him from hockey. He was a much better hockey player than I, so I used to ref his games and take it out on him. But and then he went off to play junior hockey, and that's how he met his now wife, right? Sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, included that, and then that's how I got to know Lisa, and then you came on the scene, I guess, 15 years ago or whenever you started dating.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So, yeah, let's say 15 years. Might have been longer. Again, not good with dates or numbers. Have to.
But there was a time. Yeah, so there was. But even then, it wasn't like we ran in the same circles all the time because, you know, you had your own friends and whatnot.
Sure.
But we would see each other at functions and I don't even know if we were friends right away. I think you probably thought I was a jerk.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, you weren't wrong. I don't know. That might be true. But I think your friends really thought I was a jerk. But
Yeah.
That's pretty sure of. But I slept okay. But we started playing, and then we started playing poker a lot, actually. I think that's probably how it started.
There's a poker phase for sure.
There was a poker phase.
Yeah, and that's how kind of, you know, my friends got mixed in with, you know, your friends, and that's how they ever met. Yeah, and then there was a lot more of, you know, me just getting invited to poker games that was sort of Spence and your friends, and that's where the friendship began, I guess.
Right. And then, you know, well, 6 years ago, a little more than that, about 6.5, 7 years ago, you wanted to buy a DSLR. You thought, you know what, I know nothing about photography. I'm going to get into this. And you started asking me some questions, which I was happy to answer. Like, I'm always, whenever my friends ask me, hey, what about this? I'm happy to get involved and say, hey, try this, do this, do this. But it occurred to me right away, I thought, well, why don't we do this every week and record it?
Right.
And that's how the podcast was born. But in terms of the banter, because like that's what I say, like when you get to be older, I don't know about you, but it's not like and I don't mean just now. I mean in your 30s even, I don't really make new friends. Like you do, you make acquaintances and people you talk to at parties and stuff like that. But in terms of like friends that you grew up with, like the guys that you behave in a certain way when, with that you knew forever, like there's a certain shorthand that you have with your friends that you grew up with.
Sure, yeah.
That you don't necessarily develop with people you met in your 30s, you know? I would say that you and I are kind of the exception, like, and why would that be? Do you have any clue?
I think that probably because we both like low maintenance friends. That's the probably the biggest variable for me having or keeping friends, you know, as I get older, 30s, 40s. I don't want to talk to people on the telephone. I don't want to, you know, basically have to, I don't know, make them feel bad because I don't want to do something on a regular basis. I like, you know, easy, low maintenance friends. So I choose friends that are living in a completely different country.
But this, yeah, that's true.
No, it didn't work out that way. You left after the fact that we were friends, I think.
That's true. But yeah. So like the, in terms of you know how I got to Germany, basically I met and married a German girl, and so I left Vancouver. Adam and I were friends together in Vancouver, but didn't start the podcast until after a couple years, actually 2-3 years after I had moved here.
Yeah.
It's kind of when that started. So that all, like, I was never in Vancouver when it started. But I think part of the, like, the low maintenance thing, definitely, I concur. But I think part of what the reason we do have, you know, good banter, or if I didn't call it that, but someone else did suggest that we had it, so I'll take it.
Sure.
Is I think we have similar backgrounds. I mean, kind of, this is why you want your kids to play sports. I think.
Sure.
You growing up playing hockey and whatnot in Ontario, and me growing up playing sports, we kind of there's that shorthand. You have that kind of connection, and there's that certain kind of sort of guy behavior that you can kind of sub in and sub out. Like any guys you meet now, any friends, I mean, if they grew up playing junior hockey or something like that, you're probably going to be friends at the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there is for sure. There's some of that.
And not to say that's the only person you can be friends with or that you need to, but people who didn't play, who maybe they did something else, maybe they played cello. I don't know, but they'll likely connect with other guys who play the cello. They're not gonna want to be friends with us either. It's definitely a two-way street, I think.
I agree.
So that's how we became the Spumoni after the scrambled egg breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what he said, right?
That's what Chuck said.
Sure.
We're the Spumoni after scrambled. I like and with some chorizo even too. Chorizo and eggs.
Yeah, and I mean. It is one of those things too that we had, you know, sports is one part of it, and then obviously, you know, a like-minded interest in photography is obviously what kept us, you know, communicating in this form, because that certainly gave us a reason to have, you know, weekly conversations and whatnot. So yeah, a common thread, common interests, that's obviously part of it.
And I like your kids, so
yeah, there's that too. And your kids are pretty nice and cute too, so.
But in all honesty, the good thing, like the thing that I value the most about this and my other friendships too, the guys that I still see all the time or see when I'm back, is that even if we didn't do this show, like you and I would not talk. We would talk once a year at poker when I'm home, and that would be okay.
Like yeah, for sure. Like,
yeah, I mean, you probably wouldn't be as tolerant with my directions getting home, but
yeah.
That's how it is. I mean, like I see your, you know, your brother-in-law who was, you know, he was, I was best man at his wedding. Like, that's how close we are. I see him once every 2 years, maybe. But when we do that night, it's like we've been, you know, friends forever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It's just, all right, let's go, you know, do all the bad stuff that we do.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of how I like it. And I only have a few friends like that where sometimes, yeah, you can go 2, 3, 5. I had one friend in particular that I was the best man in his wedding, and I went 5 years without seeing him. And when we got together for a weekend, we had a great time. And it's like time doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's it. We're old souls, like-minded souls. Yeah.
That's the backstory. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Craig, I closed it.
Chuck.
What was the guy's name? Chuck.
Chuck. Yeah.
There you go, Chuck. That's
he's the not basic. Listening after the Christmas episode, so it doesn't matter.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. Why the fair weather listener? Gonna get a new review. These guys suck. You know, sometimes I can tell right away if I don't like a podcast, and this is one of them. Hashtag the end. Yeah. All right. Did you shoot anything? Was there anything else going on in your life? No.
No, not really.
Just wrapping up the Christmas hangover, right?
Sure, yeah.
What do you do with all that wrapping paper? Just burn it, right?
Yeah, recycle, man. Everything's recycle now. No burning anything. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Gore.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Did you shoot anything interesting since we spoke?
I did. I mean, do we have time? Should I talk about it?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Okay. I did family portrait for some people that my wife knows, so there's that. That's how I get a lot of my work, to be honest. It's my wife posting my pictures on Facebook and then other people she knows being jealous that her family photos don't look as good as ours.
Right.
And then them asking my wife, hey, can I have your husband's
family photos
email? Yeah, that, or can I have his text or his email? And then I get people say, hey, I know Lisa. So if anybody wants to get photography work, just get a super nice wife that everybody else seems to like, and then get her to do all your social media work for you, and then work comes looking for you. So I hadn't
thought of it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't look at it that way. She looks at it like, hey, I just want to, you know, post some of these cute pictures of our kids. And that's the end result, is that it helps drive business. I mean, I don't have to market it. I don't do jobs all the time. It sort of comes and goes, but it's just nice kind of side work. And so, yeah, I did family photos at Gary Point, because these are people that live in Steveston and they wanted something for Christmas. So this was a Christmas present, I guess, they're going to give to their family. So they wanted a photo shoot. They had a sort of teenage son and then two adults. And then they had brought their dog down to Gary Point, and we just did some nice photos out at the point. So just a range of different things. I had emailed them and asked them if they minded if I posted some photos, and so far have not got word back. So they're not great at emailing so far. So I don't think there will be any issue. And at some point I will post some of those once I get permission, but I just didn't decide to keep bothering them about it. But yeah, no, just what you'd expect, right? We went at a good time. Now that sunset's so early, we got one real nice clear day on Sunday, and they texted me Sunday afternoon and said, hey, we want to do this. This is for Christmas. I said, how about this afternoon? Because it's a nice day. And if we go out at around 3 o'clock, because sunset was around, I don't know, it's just after 4 o'clock. If we go out at 3 or 3:30, then we'll get that good light. And so that's what we did. And yeah, photos look good. I did use some lighting. I did use my voice activated light stand of a wife to help in a few shots, because just how bright it was and not wanting to look right at the sun, and sometimes using it just as a little bit of a fill, you know, to bring down the shadows on the other side of the face when I'm using, you know, natural light on one side. I wasn't using it as a key light, more as a fill, but yeah, the photos I was really happy with. And what's your policy on acne Do you? Because they had a teenage son, and mm-hmm. he had a little bit of the teenage son.
Do you
acne.
Squeeze his zits? That's what you're asking me.
Yeah. Now I guess I can't post any photos, and I can't mention any names because that'd be awkward. But anyways, I didn't do anything. Again, the lighting I used was very pleasing. But at one point, the client, so the lady that my wife knows, asked, hey, would you, you know, touch up the one main photo, just the one main photo that we're going to use for presents and stuff? Cause you know, I want to, you know, I don't want that to be something that, you know, he looks at and doesn't like, you know, it's a phase. It's obviously nothing that's permanent. And I think we've talked about this somewhat in the past about, you know, if it's a birthmark or something, then obviously you wouldn't take that out. Mm-hmm. But if it's something like a pimple, then you would, right? Or it's up to them, I guess. It wasn't hard for me to remove. I just did a little bit of light touching up that took maybe all of 2 minutes on the final image. Mm-hmm. And again, it just takes away any of that distraction. I'm okay with it. I didn't do it. My first thought was, I don't want to do this because it's a bit awkward if I make that decision.
Yes.
But because it was a decision that was requested by the family. And sometimes with the lighting and definitely black and white, you wouldn't notice it at all. But in the one photo that they did choose, it was more apparent. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's a tough one because I've encountered that before. A couple of years ago, I had to take one of the kids on our ball club. He was on the younger team. So he was like 15 at the time, right in full bloom, right? And, you know, good-looking kid, fair skin, except for kablam with the acne.
Right.
Right? Now, when I was that age, I mean, I thought I had horrible, horrible acne, but I would get, you know, I'd get a pimple every month. Like, I really did not experience acne.
Yeah.
Maybe haven't hit puberty yet, so it could be any day now. However... I remember at the time, I thought it was the end of the world if I got, you know, two pimples at the same time. Like, that was the worst for me. Some kids definitely had it much, much, much worse. You know, like, there's some kids who have to take tetracycline or whatever to try to, you know, ride the wave. So I wasn't that kid. So, but emotionally, I kind of understand. Like, it's no fun. And I guess for the parents, too. Like the parents kind of feel bad for their kids, I'm assuming.
I think that's all that it is. Yeah.
And so with his kid, he's 15, and he had made some team. Like, he had made some, like, provincial team. So he was going to be in the newspaper. And so we did take a nice portrait of him, baseball shot, and his mom said to me, can you do something about the acne? And so I said, well, because it's for the paper. I mean, we obviously want, you know, I don't want to embarrass the kid and that. Even though, looking back on it, in retrospect, as a 43-year-old man, it's nothing. It really is a silly thing to worry about.
Yeah.
But at the time, it's everything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
In that respect, I said, okay, yeah, I will lessen the effect. I'm not going to erase it, though. I'm not going to just – because if that's the point, we'll just take a picture of, you know, go get some model in his 20s.
Yeah, and that's all I did is I kind of just enough to, like, you know, obviously not draw attention to it.
Right.
Yeah, so, but I didn't want to make it look fake either.
No, because because at some point, you know, I don't want to dictate his own nostalgia. But you will look back on that and go, wow, what did I ever make a big deal of? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, chicks weren't going to like me anyway, turns out.
Yeah, it was your personality that was keeping them away.
Yeah, yeah. You hit a nerve. So, wow, you're girl repellent. Yeah, that's how I market myself. So looking back... yeah, definitely lessen it. Maybe take some of the red out, I guess, is what you probably did. You can probably scale that down.
Yeah.
Smooth out some of the bumps, but don't get rid of it altogether because you kind of want to look back and go, wow, I've come a long way since then.
And, I mean, it's part of it is, you know, do a good job with your lighting. You know, you can make it look more pleasing just by, you know, how you light a photo or how you choose to use the available light, right?
Were you an acne kid when you were younger?
No, not really. No. Again, the pimple here and there, but definitely not, you know, not the, like you say, the people that really suffered from it. No, I was minor.
And ever use cover up?
Probably for a dance or something. I'm sure there was that. Mm-hmm. Where in high school, I imagine I did. Again, not something that, you know, not like the real makeup-y stuff, but like the medicated stuff probably on an occasion if I got like a big forehead pimple or something.
Which in your case, that's devastating.
I was all forehead.
Yeah. Forehead. You get a pimple in the five back
head.
Of your head. Yeah.
Five head.
Pimple right in the top of your head. That's technically a forehead zit.
Okay, then.
Yeah, no one cared about the acne when you're bald in grade 9. That's pretty much, they're focusing on that. Too soon?
Yeah. No. Never too soon. Yeah.
No, I never had the never used the cover up. I do remember on my grad photo, I remember my mom who taking me down, because he used to go to the studio, right? I don't know what they do now. You go down there and it was on film and you had, you know, 6 shots, that was that. And I remember her asking if they could take out the pimple. And he said, yeah, no problem. It was like with just a pencil on the negative, you could just kind of color it in. And then on the print, it would go away. So I think I had a really wonderful complexion in my grad photo, which just didn't really need anyways, because my mullet pretty much distracts from everything else. Yeah, not awesome. Not a great photo. I was begging for some zits to take away from my mullet. Yeah, good job. Hey, good. You look like I can't even think of his name now.
Billy.
No, it's going Patio Lanterns. Kim Mitchell.
Kim Mitchell.
I was like, wow. Are you Kim Mitchell? That is terrible. Awful. Hey, Corey Hart, you graduating this year? Good times. All right. In terms of shooting anything interesting, I don't know if it's interesting, but I did snap a photo with my... I bought a new iPod when I was in Vancouver. Still a couple years old, I guess. They haven't released anything new, but I needed a new iPod. And I took my daughter to the movies for the very first time ever.
Really?
Yeah.
It's taking you that long, eh?
She didn't really care to go.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a different culture here. Like, had she been brought up in North America, we would have gone when she was 2, probably.
Yeah, that's about when Sarah went to her first movie, 2.
Yeah.
She sat through the whole thing, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I didn't think...
Princess and the Frog, that was her first movie, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not as big a deal here. Like, it's really downplayed, and they do have the kids' movies, and... But, you know, but finally, I'd asked her, hey, like, do you want to go to the movies? She didn't know what the movies was. She had no clue. And I said, well, you just got to trust me. And she said, no, Daddy, no, I don't want to go. And so, okay. So finally, for part of her Advent calendar that she opened this year, she got Daddy would take her to go see a kid's movie, a live action, a German one, Pedersen und Findus, which might technically be Swedish. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, it was in German, but so I took her, and I was so excited. We got dressed up and you know, rode the bus into town and went to the movies and did the whole thing, and she loved it. So I snapped a photo. I wasn't going to bring my whole DSLR, even my 40D. I wasn't going to bother bringing that. I wanted to just go have a nice day, but I did bring my iPod and snapped a quick snapshot of that, which I'll post. But interesting, it was like 3 o'clock. The movie started at like 3 o'clock on a Monday, right?
Yeah.
So we go in there, and I think this theater, it's big theater, seats like 600 plus, 650 people or something like that. So it's huge. Walk in, just us.
What?
Just the two of us. And then just before the movie started, a mom brought her 5-year-old son in as well. And then sat directly in front of us. No. But it was 4 people in the entire theater. So
wow.
That was a little bit weird. And even my daughter, who had never been in the movies before, was kind of bummed. She's like, where is everybody, Daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of took away from the experience a little bit. But
she got popcorn, though.
She got popcorn, but popcorn here is sweet popcorn.
Oh, really? Like kettle corn type stuff?
Yeah, they put sugar on it here. That's the deal. Like
that's
salty,
weird.
Salty popcorn is like, I think my wife never knew what salty popcorn was until she met me. Yeah. The first time we made popcorn, and it never occurred to me to tell her that it wasn't. So she was a little surprised. Like, oh boy, that's not what I was expecting. But she likes it now. She understands that it actually is very good. But so my daughter, she can go both ways. But yeah, the theater popcorn is covered in sugar.
Okay.
Here. So there's that. All right. Photo challenge. The photo challenge this week was Christmas lights.
It was. I had something else in mind. Should I go first?
Well, you did the tree as well, right?
I did the tree and Christmas lights all combined into one.
Just in case we did the tree instead. I was going to suggest we do the tree, but at the time of recording, we had not even, we still haven't bought a tree. So we have no tree.
So you couldn't do a tree.
Couldn't really do a tree. So I said, hey, let's do Christmas lights. Let's have a look at yours. There you go.
I did this because these were the Christmas lights that were available to me at the time. And it seemed very daunting to try to go outside to try to do this. Although last year I did the Christmas lights. There's a neighbor's house that's maybe a 3-minute drive from us who has just an amazing display. And if you'll remember, my last year's photo was done in front of the house, and I had every intention of doing that, but Sarah's dance schedule didn't align with the time I had to do this photo, and they only turned the lights off turned the lights on at that house after 6. I imagine it's a huge energy suck, and and everybody comes in the neighborhood over, and they have like the little posing cutouts of snowman and all different, like the, you can sit on Santa's sleigh and it, just everything, a giant Christmas clock and on every year they add stuff. So they've added more to it. So it just didn't work out for me getting it done in time, but I will do that photo at some point because the kids love to go over to that house, so we will be making that visit soon. But as it were, I just had my Christmas tree with lights in the background and a son that agreed to don the Santa hat and take a photo in front of it. So what we have here is basically Jack sitting in front of the Christmas tree, pretty close. Maybe the tree is within about 2 feet from his back.
Really?
And I shot this on an F2 or F2.2, something like that, very wide open with an 85 mil lens standing very close to him. I just cropped off the sides because I wanted to mostly have the tree lights in the back and not the blinds and whatever else got into it with the regular uncropped image. And yeah, just a little ceiling bounce with the flash and that's it, done.
Ceiling bounce.
Yeah, this is a 3-second jobby, and I'm quite happy with how it turned out, considering minimal setup, and Jack was not going to stay put for very long.
See, I went the other way. Well, we're not getting to mine yet, but just a teaser. I went completely the other way on all accounts, on effort and reward. So, the fact that you did this with a ceiling bounce, that's great. You just snapped this. You put zero time in, pretty much zero. You have very little time between when you took this photo and now, correct? Right.
Yeah.
So there's no way you're going to have any appreciation for this. It's not possible because you remember how simple it was versus in 5 years you're really going to like this photo. Which you know, not that you shouldn't like it now, but it won't mean anything to you. But generally, I find shooting the Christmas tree is really difficult to do to make it look good.
Okay.
Do you have how many framed photos of a Christmas tree do you have in your house right now?
I think I have one, and it's just when they were really little.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and Sarah kind of like sitting in front of the Christmas tree. We have a photo up on one of our little photo shelves that I only recently put up because I cleaned out a closet and found it, and I was like, "Oh, this is cute, good for the holidays." It was already in a little frame, and I put it up on a little photo shelf. So I'm going to say one.
So proving my point, though, that it's difficult to shoot a Christmas tree and make it look good, and yeah. B, have more appreciation for it now than you did when you took it.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So that's what this is. So this the fact that there is no confusion as to what is behind him. The tree itself, not tremendously visually appealing. It's the fact that it's your son at Christmas, and you know full well what's behind him. It's the tree, right. Even though you can see none of it. I mean, correct. Really.
Yeah.
You get the general idea of it. And I think, to me, this is the best way to shoot the tree, is to have someone in front of it, out of focus. So all in all, you win this week, no question.
I agree. And do you want to know the extra complicating factor here? I had nothing but a dining room full of appliances in every direction around us, because we were moving everything out of the kitchen right before I took this in order to make room for new floors to be installed. So I had literally no space to shoot this. So I basically was forced into, this is all I've got to work with. You can sit here. I can stand, 3 feet away from you, and we're going to shoot this on 1 point whatever or 2.0 and hope for the best. That's it. Mm-hmm. So it was, considering the circumstances, I agree in that it turned out really well. You know, what's interesting too, and you probably have noticed this, and maybe we've mentioned this somewhere in the past, but I took this photo, I'm going to say I took 5 takes on this, try to get him to have a good smile. But what I realized is 3 of the 5 were throwaways, because the lights don't show up in every frame. So I don't know. You probably understand better how that works, but the timing,
LEDs?
I believe so. Yeah. Do they blink or something? Like, what's the deal with that? Yeah.
They will blink. They, depends. I actually just read something online about this accidentally, but yeah, they tend to, they're intermittent. And, so generally, I don't know, what I would do is just shoot with a long shutter speed. I would let it, if you let the shutter speed kind of lag and drag the shutter on this, you'll get a nice sharp image of your sun, the background lights. If the shutter is on long enough, you'll capture all the lights on at some point.
Right.
And it'll look like they all light up.
Yeah, because I didn't really think of it, because in the first shot, my test shot, they showed up. And so then I took 4 more, just trying to get the smile I wanted, and then realized after, like I said, all right, you're done, get out of here, I had 2 photos to choose from, because only twice did the lights actually show up in the back frame. So yeah.
I've run into this, like, not with Christmas lights, but I've run into this taking long, and then this is where the opposite is the issue of taking long shutter speed shots of traffic, and you get a weird effect with the headlights, and you get kind of like the stuttery, instead of getting like just a long sort of how do you describe it, like a consistent light trail. At certain shutter speeds, you'll get that staccato look as the car moves and the LED flashes on and off. Your naked eye doesn't see it, but in the picture it shows up, and it looks weird.
Hmm.
And that's why it's from the light doing that, and something moving within the frame. If you just had it stationary, you wouldn't notice it, but because it's moving, I'll try to find that picture and post it.
Okay, and what I noticed that was interesting, though, is that it either seemed that the lights showed up or they didn't. It wasn't, like, the timing of the bulbs seems to be all the same. So however that works, I thought that part was interesting, in that none of them showed up or all of them showed up. And so I just snapped off a few, and that was kind of the effect. In some cases, I sort of was scratching my head going, did I change something? Like, did I miss something? How come those lights don't show up? But then I kind of figured it out. Yeah.
All right. Well, it worked out great.
All right. So, and yours, let's have a look.
Okay. In case you're wondering about mine, you're thinking, hey, is that Captain America standing on Bigfoot in front of Christmas lights? The answer is yes. Of course it is. Yeah.
I it's funny, and I like it. I don't even know why I like it, but it is funny. Because it couldn't have just been Captain America or Bigfoot. It had to be both.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to phone this in. But, like, get some background on this. We don't, again, don't have Christmas lights. Christmas lights, they exist here, not nearly on the scale as they do in North America. And so I definitely did tailor this week's challenge to you. But I knew I could get something. So before I put our little Christmas lights up in the front yard, which is not, our front yard is not finished yet, so I can't put up the lights, I thought, oh, I'm going to hang them in my basement. And so what I did was I put my the stand for my white backdrop I have, the seamless backdrop.
Uh-huh.
Put that up, and then took all the little Christmas LEDs that we have and just strung them up in a vertical pattern, like up and down, up and down, up and down, to create that backdrop.
Okay. So how far away is Bigfoot and Captain America from these lights?
Pretty far. I mean, relatively speaking.
In order to get this dramatic of a sort of out-of-focus bokeh effect, it looks like there has to be some reasonably big separation.
Yeah, at least 10 feet.
Okay.
Probably more. Probably closer to 12 or 15 feet. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, so what's the lens here? Because the effect is 80, cool.
85.
So 85, yeah.
85 at, I think I ended up at an f2.8. I tried at an f1.8, as far as it'll open. And it was actually, the effect was too much. I did like the bokeh on the lights themselves, but Bigfoot itself was even less in focus than it is now.
Right.
You know, and to the point where when I first started posing Captain America, I had him standing next to Bigfoot. And then it was just, Bigfoot was not even close to being in focus if I focused on him. So that's why I decided to put him on the hood, which worked out better, you know, thematically. And, but still, you can see the front and back of Bigfoot out of focus. And right. The focus drops off really quick, even at f2.8 here. But then it just became a matter of, you know, exposing for the background, which I knew I was going to. The room was going to be 100% dark, and I knew I wanted a long shutter speed so I could get all the lights on. That was an issue, like we just discussed with yours. It's like 1/5 of a second or something like that in order to make sure we get the lights.
Okay.
And then because Captain America was in complete darkness, I had to light him, of course. And I decided on a more kind of a 3/4 top light. I didn't want just your basic, you know, good, nice regular lighting. I wanted something a little more dramatic, and so I basically handheld the flash in our little, you know, the little soft box we have, the little camera mounted one,
the
kind of thing,
the mini one, yeah, whatever it's called,
So I threw that on and basically in one hand held the light right over top of him, and then the other hand fired off the trigger, which the camera was on a tripod. Because I was at 1/5 of a second, or 1/8 of a second, or whatever it ended up being, so and that's how that happened. And basically, the only adjustment I made, I changed the shutter speed a couple times just to sort of play with the background light, like how bright I wanted those background lights to be.
Gotcha.
And I wanted them to be a little bit darker than the foreground, just so he would stand out. And that's it.
Yeah, no, it's a cool effect, and now if you could get your kids sort of arm-in-arm in front of their tree with this effect, then you'd have something.
Then I would have something. You're right. In terms of how much time and effort I put into setting this up, on it by itself, totally not worth it.
Yeah.
And then when you then factor in that this is the end result, really not worth it. Really wasted my time on this.
This could be you should print this as a poster and just put it up in your kid's room. Just be like, yeah.
He doesn't even really like Captain America.
Oh, you got to swap it out for Spider-Man then.
Yeah, but that's the thing is his grandma, when she came to visit, decided to buy him a Captain America figure.
Yeah, well, Spider-Man can beat the crap out of him.
Well, I guess my only thinking is that because he does have pajamas that have, like, it has the Hulk, Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Captain America all in the same pajamas, that Grandma decided, oh, well, he must like Captain America when really Spider-Man is king.
Right.
So This is basically all the use that this figure gets. He gets his one day in the sun, and then back in the obscure pile.
Okay.
So, thanks, Captain America. Thanks for participating.
Yeah.
So, anyways, our topic this week, which is pretty much almost done.
Okay.
Is 6 years. So I did want to talk to you for a couple minutes before you hang up about 6 years on. I mean, I don't think I thought we would do 6 years of this.
No, I was hoping we wouldn't.
And we're not canceling before you. You know, well, maybe you're getting excited, but we're not canceling the show. We're going to keep going. At least I am.
Okay. Yeah. I was.
But I kind of wanted to look back. Yeah. Well, as we're about to enter 2017, I thought, how have you changed, like photography wise? Of course, obviously from day one, you've learned a lot until now.
Yeah.
But let's say the last couple of years, like the learning curve itself, in terms of here's the basics, here's what you need to know. You haven't learned that much, but you have developed. I have. What have you noticed? Like, what has changed in the last couple of years specifically?
Probably the biggest thing is, I think, just confidence. There's not really a situation that I sort of think, oh, I can't figure this out somehow. And I might, maybe some of that is overconfidence, and I probably get myself into trouble if I think that way always. But I tend to be prepared. Like, if I'm going to do photos for somebody, I try to get as much information about what I'm going to go in and do. And then along the way, whether it's a day before, the day of, whatever, I'm trying to problem solve what I need to bring, what I need to do. And I think that's just comes with confidence. The more you do this stuff, the more you learn from your mistakes, you know, the better prepared you are the next time. And I think that just over the years, it's just reps. And I find the same thing in my work life. You know, I'm a physiotherapist, for those that don't know. And the more times you see injuries and different people and how they behave and how those injuries get better, the more and more confidence you build on knowing how likely something will respond in the future. And so that's kind of photography in a nutshell, is that, you know, if I get asked to do something, I'm pretty sure that I've done it before. So every year's experience is just, again, I guess, more confidence in the bank. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. Yeah. Yeah. And that, go ahead.
I probably said this in the past, because when you've asked me this in terms of what I've learned in the past, I think the biggest thing I've learned is just, you know, to take less photos and just be more precise. I think I don't snap everything the way I probably did at the beginning, just hoping in that sort of spray and pray matter that I would kind of get it somewhere and spend all that time editing. And I think now I just, because of the confidence and sort of knowing that I don't need 50 photos to get one, I can take five and I'll pretty sure that I got it. So, you know, the basics you kind of hammer out in the first year or two about, you know, exposure triangle and sort of, you know, what the composition that you want it to look like. Sometimes I think that we might shoot it from further away, just leaving ourselves enough edge room that we can crop it to how we would want that final product, versus just in our head going in, knowing, you know, what we want the final image to look like, and therefore most of the time avoiding the need to crop at all. So I think it's just a lot of that. The more reps, the more you kind of, I guess, find your own style. And I think when I look at my photos or my website, that I basically have kind of my own style or way of doing things. And when I look at the photos that Lisa posts and, you know, the photos that I do for other people, there's definitely sort of a style way I like people to sort of pose as a group shot. There's a way I like my background to look in terms of how much in or out of focus I want it to be. So I just think, and then I think that, you know, I find certain photographers, and I think we all do this, we critique other photographers that we see on Facebook or social media or whatever, and a lot of times I love their stuff and a lot of times I hate their stuff, but I think it's more just the style that I either like or don't like, right? So I think I found my own style. Let's put it
that
way.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, that's the first, like you said, the first couple of years you need to get, unfortunately, you need to get that tech stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
The what is, you know, what is an f-stop, what is, how they all interact, and in order for you to find that style. I find that obviously you be like, you know, everybody improves ideally, although sometimes, like we discussed I think last week, sometimes I feel like, geez, am I getting worse? Like when it comes to
me too.
Like the last video job I did when I was in Vancouver, and it's a thing I've done many years in a row, and so I always get that feeling as soon as we're wrapped, I think, I got nothing here. Like, I just shot for two straight days, and I got nothing to go on. Like, this is going to be terrible. They're going to realize I'm a fraud, and I'm not getting paid. And ultimately, that proves to be false. And this year, I don't know how it went. I haven't talked to the client yet how it went over at the function. But I was really happy with it. I thought it was really funny, and you know, like, it runs together and everything edits together. It's a real short film. And so, you know, I'm not getting worse, I don't think. But that happens with photography as well. I think, geez, you know, I think when, you know, my kid was one, I think I took way better photos, and I'm not sure that I'm wrong. But here's the thing: I don't think it's me. We spend a lot of time discussing, you know, how are we going to improve our technique? You know, what can we do to get better? But we rarely acknowledge the fact that our circumstances also evolve. So while you're getting to be a better player, the playing field itself is shifting. And so that's what I find with now that my kids are older. Obviously you can't take the same photos you took. Like, when your kids are only crawling, it's a little bit, you know, you take different photos. Whether it's easier or not, you take a different style of photo. So as your kids grow, you're kind of forced to adapt as well.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest thing for me as my kids go. Because when we started the show, I didn't have any kids. Like, my kids came along, I'm not saying because of the show, just completely unrelated. And so my photography has shifted a lot in those 6 years as my kids have gotten older and refused to have their photo taken, for one. Like, that's, you know, it wasn't so hard when my daughter was 6 months old, because she was a captive subject.
Right.
Now that they have the mind of their own and free will, they're not into it so much. So you kind of have to step up your game and catch them at the right moment.
Agreed.
And that happens less and less.
For sure, yeah.
But when it does, you get that big payoff, you know? And so I think that's the situation where the reps and everything comes in handy, to put yourself in a good position to catch lightning in a bottle when it does happen. It's just that your definition of lightning changes, because first of all, like I said earlier, you know, the first photo album for my daughter was 400 photos. I thought they were all lightning in a bottle. Turns out none of them were. Maybe one or two, good photo. But really, I thought every moment was that important, and so thus I was capturing all of it, to then go to now when I realize that there aren't as many important moments, and I still can't capture them anyways. Which kind of raises the value of the ones I do. So it's a decent trade-off. I appreciate the trade-off. It's just that, so when you look back and think, wow, I used to be a better photographer, probably not the case.
Yeah, it's probably
circumstances
not.
Have changed. But in terms of the podcast itself, I mean, obviously it's changed. We've expanded. We've had people on that, never would have had before, but not every single guest we've had has necessarily been 100% about photography.
That's true.
We have gotten a little negative feedback on that, which I tend to ignore, really. I'm not too concerned about it because I believe it to be important.
Okay.
That we don't just hear from photographers about photography only. I believe there's a lot more in life that informs how we take photos, what we take photos of, our themes, our styles, and that. And so we're going to continue to do that. Not, you know, to have ideally at least tangentially involved in photography.
Sure.
Like, I'm not just going to invite, you know, interview random people on the street about bookkeeping.
Okay.
Probably not that relevant.
Yeah.
But if there's tangential interviews, I'm still gonna do something like that, and it'll be up to the listener to see how it kind of affects, potentially could affect their style, their photography, their way of thinking. That's kind of the idea. So there is method to some of the madness. Also, I think we made a promise a little bit less than a year ago that we were going to include the listeners more.
Okay.
I don't think we did a very good job of that.
Okay. I think we have, and you've brought up emails that have people sent, and we've had a good example today of, or last week or whenever we talked about, you know, Joe's Christmas cards that he sent us. I think if listeners want to be involved, then that's up to them to send us stuff, send us pictures, send us emails, and then they'll be included. I think you can give yourself a pass on that one.
I'm not going to, but yeah, I that's true. People, the listeners can send them and should send us photos. Because in the end, and this isn't lip service, this is a really like legit. We said a year ago, this isn't our show. It's your show. The listener's show really is. Without the listener, there's really not much point in continuing to do this, to do this. And we're going to continue. That's not a veiled threat. But in that respect, we want to make it clear that we do invite you to share. Now, we're not going to share every photo that we get or every story, but we would like people to be more involved if they want to be.
Yeah, I like it when people post their photos on Facebook and ask for opinions and whatnot. I kind of find that fun. I don't go on Facebook as often as I once did in the past. So you have to be a little bit patient on, you might not get that feedback that day or even within a couple of days, but we will eventually, you know, give feedback. If you take the time to post a photo, then, I really do like to throw in my two cents about it, whether or not it's you agree with it or not is kind of irrelevant. It's just, I like feedback. I like feedback on my photos. And so I think that if you are brave enough, anybody out there to post your photos, we're generally pretty nice. I don't think we're critical for the sake of being critical ever.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, feel free to do that.
That's what we would look at in 2017. That's what we want to make sure, to include, the listener more. That's the idea. So if we haven't done a good job at that, I would like to fix that now. It's one of the challenges has been including people on the photo challenge because of it. So it is a weekly thing. I think that's the biggest, like we had people in the past who have participated. Is it the weekly schedule is the problem?
I don't know. I mean,
I think so.
I think it's challenging for a lot of people, and how busy everybody is to crank it out on a weekly basis is unlikely. I think some weeks people do it and then maybe they don't feel super confident in sharing their photos or for whatever reason that they don't. But I think that it probably gets done by some of our listeners on a semi-regular basis. So you don't have to do every single week on time, but when you do get to it, feel free to post it.
So that's what's got me to thinking is we're not gonna mess with the format, because despite the fact that some weeks it's a lot of pressure for Adam and I to actually do the photo challenge, just schedule wise, like it's you know, some weeks you're under the gun. It's really hard to do. We haven't really missed any, except for you subbing in Dwayne's a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was on purpose. But other than that, like, we generally, for better or for worse, you know, we rise to the challenge. Now, this week, you know, mine, not so much. But it did technically, it was Christmas lights.
Yeah.
You know? So part of that, like, I do like that part of it. I like having my feet held to the fire because it makes you get out and shoot. It makes you do something. Even if it's terrible, you know, you learn enough from it. It's important. However, in the effort to encourage participation, should we have basically maybe the first challenge of the month? We should also have that be the monthly challenge. See what I'm saying? Like, you and I aren't going to add any additional challenges. We'll keep doing our weekly challenge.
But you're saying put one out a month that the listeners
could participate. But the first one that airs, we will also review on the following, four weeks later, we will review. If listeners want to submit their challenge photos for that, we will review them 4 weeks later.
Gotcha. Oh, I think that's a great idea.
Done. We're doing it.
Okay.
So there's that. So with that, next week's challenge, which is going to be tough. This is going to be a tough one. I have New Year's. Well, I put Sylvester because that's what they call the New Year's party here.
Okay.
Can you do New Year's for the next challenge?
Can I?
Well, can we?
Sure.
I'm going to pressure you on the air right now in terms of recording. We are likely going to have to record on New Year's Day.
What day of the week is that?
That's going to be a Sunday.
Okay.
Because we'll Monday, the day the show goes out, is Jan 2. Can you do it?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
We will record on New Year's Day, is what you're telling me.
I can't confirm or deny.
Well, that's going to mean, okay, then worst case, you have to stage a New Year's photo then.
Okay.
So the challenge is going to be Sylvester, is going to be New Year's. For our listeners, you will have until February the 1st or 3rd or whatever that is to get your photo submitted.
Okay.
So however, it'll be under the gun. So there's that. Next week's challenge is Sylvester. With that, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and your stuff.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find the links, photos, everything we just talked about. So with that, I want to say to our listeners, have a fun and safe New Year's, everybody. Thanks for listening all these years, these 6 years, or the last couple episodes if you're just joining us. But more importantly, we want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. And we will we won't see you, but you can hear us in 2017. Say something nice, Adam.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
Great, wonderful. And that's from the heart, you can tell. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.